Now, we've got a picture. Can you just stick the picture up for us? Okay. There you go, ladies. That's George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, thank you, Andy Garcia, and Julia Roberts, is it? Yeah. So it's a film called Ocean's 11.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. I happened to see the film Ocean's 11 last weekend, and I bet loads of you know the story, don't you? 11 men, 3 casinos, and on one night, the biggest heist in history. Each member of the team is only there because they have a particular and exceptional skill. And they're picked for that specific skill or they're not there at all. So you've got the con man, you've got the IT expert, you've got the explosives man, you've got the pickpocket, and do you remember the little Chinese guy who can jump around everywhere? Him as well. It's a hand-picked team. Okay, you can take the picture down now. Hand-picked team. When Jesus picks his team is also hand-picked with great care. So I want you to have that first reading in front of you, please. First reading, very first verse, verse 12. Jesus spent the entire night praying. That's how important choosing his team was. He spends the whole night praying. And then he called his disciples. Now, his disciples, that just means his followers. And out of that big group, he chooses a little group and he designates 12 of them as apostles. Now, please understand, we belong to the big group. We are disciples. We are not apostles. Those are the 12 who are personally sent by Jesus. They are commissioned. They are authorized. They are empowered by his Spirit to do and to teach in a way that is unique and is different to us. And just like Ocean's 11, they are picked with great care. A whole night of prayer goes into it. But the thing is, if you look down, they are not the list of people that you or I would have chosen. They are not the people that any rabbi in first century Palestine would have chosen. If you look at the list in verse 14, Simon Peter is a fisherman. Andrew, his brother, is a fisherman. James and John are fishermen. Matthew, verse 15, Matthew is another name for Levi. Levi is a reformed tax collector. Judas Iscariot, look at his qualification. He's a traitor. You see, this is the call of the kingdom. We know from last week, don't we? Jesus has not come for the great and the good. Jesus has not come for the gifted and the well-qualified. He has not come for the religious and the righteous. Do you remember who he's come for? He's come for the poor, the weak, and the outcast. And this list of apostles is simply a reflection of the kingdom. Don't be alarmed that Jesus picks Judas Iscariot, the traitor. That is not a mistake. Jesus knew what he was doing. He knew Judas would betray him. It's put there as a reminder that the cross looms over absolutely everything. Whatever else Jesus says and does, he came to die. Judas is not there because it's a mistake. It is God's plan and God's purpose. It's the way that God has planned things. So Jesus gets them together. He gets the big group, the disciples, he gets the little group together, and he looks at them, and he preaches this sermon, which is the whole of that second reading. This is the call of the kingdom. This is what it's like to be a follower. This is what it's like to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So please, just have that second reading in front of you. We're going to spend the rest of our time just looking at this second reading. Now, lots of us were at the SGP conference last Saturday. And the speaker there said a number of very, very helpful things about eternity. He said, we've got to get life in perspective. We have got to get a right view of the relative importance of things. And he wished, do you remember this? He wished that he had a ball of string with him so that he could illustrate what he was talking about. So I thought I'd bring my ball of string with me today. It's not a ball, but it's a very long length of string. Here it is. And it represents eternity. It represents all of time that goes on forever and ever. There is no beginning and there is no end. Now, if we are lucky, or you might say blessed, most of us here are going to live for about 90 years. Some of us are going to live for 100, aren't we? Yeah? Well, maybe not, but some of us are. Okay? And that sounds a lot, doesn't it? 100 years sounds a lot. But I want to say to you, it is nothing compared to eternity. 100 years, 90 years is nothing compared to forever. So what I've done is, I've marked some of this string with red tape. The red tape represents 90 or 100 years of your life on this earth. And the rest of it is eternity. And it goes on and it goes on and it goes on and it goes on. And I could stretch this all round the church many, many times. And the thing is, this life on earth is so tiny compared to eternity. And yet most of us spend most of our time thinking this is it. This is the most important thing. This is the most significant thing. And yet it is a tiny, tiny proportion of eternity. We might occasionally think about eternity, but we don't live as though it matters. Well, by coincidence, this sermon that Jesus gives in Luke chapter 6 is a sermon about eternity. And it won't make any sense unless we get the right perspective. And here's the right perspective, and I stole it shamelessly from the man last Saturday, because I think it's so helpful. Eternity is too long to get it wrong. Eternity is too long to get it wrong. You see, there are two kinds of people. I wonder which kind you are. There are two kinds of people. People who understand eternity and people who don't. There are people who treasure only what this life has to offer. And people who realize that the then is so much longer and more significant than the now. And this is a passage with some very, very challenging opposites. You see, the people who we really, really don't want to be are the people Jesus says are blessed. And the people who we think we would like to be and the people we generally admire, they're the people Jesus says will receive woe, the opposite of blessing. The ones who are blessed are those who, verse 22, stand with the Son of Man, the ones who stand with Jesus. And the ones who receive woe, well, they stand with the false prophets, and they make themselves fully at home now. So please, just have this reading in front of you. It's so important. Very quickly, let me show you the four opposites. So please look with me. Verse 20. Verse 20, blessed or happy or fortunate. That's what blessed means. Blessed are you who are poor. But verse 24, woe to you who are rich. Blessed are you who are poor now, but woe to you who are rich now. Please understand something so important. The Bible is not against people being rich. Okay? If you think that's the case, you're wrong. Please, I need to stress this. There's nothing wrong with being rich. And at the same time, please understand, there is nothing intrinsically good about being poor. Okay? There's nothing good about being poor. The issue is spiritual. It is simply the case that the more comfortable you are, often the less you see your spiritual need. Our comfort and our wealth, they blind us to eternal realities. We lose that ball of string perspective. Let me tell you something very striking. You know, in this country, there are two groups of people where we have seen more conversions to Christianity than any other groups. The two groups of people are the very poor, and would you believe, the very, very rich. Do you know who the most difficult people to reach with the gospel are? White middle class. You see, it seems to me that the very, very poor, people who are very poor can see their need, can't they? They can see their need. And here's the interesting thing. I suspect that the very, very rich can see that, frankly, money does not deliver everything it promises. You've got to have a lot of money before you realise that sometimes. So blessed are the poor now, but woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort. The second contrast is very similar. Verse 21, do look with me. Verse 21, blessed are you who hunger now, but by contrast, verse 25, woe to you who are well fed now. In eternity, Jesus says the positions will be reversed. The people who are well fed now will be hungry then. The people who are hungry now will be well fed then. But again, we've got to be so careful because it's a spiritual thing. Please understand, it's a spiritual thing. About a year ago, we looked at John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, you might remember it, Jesus says these words. He says, do not work for food that spoils, but work for food that endures to eternal life, which I will give you. You see, he's saying there are two kinds of food. There is temporary food, and you've got to keep eating temporary food for it to do you any good. But he says there is eternal food. Food that endures forever. So here's the thing, friends. I was trying to work out how to illustrate this, so I'm sorry if this is a bit close to the grain, but here it goes. If you have no spiritual hunger for eternal food, if every Sunday morning you think, oh, here he goes again, time for 40 winks, I'm just going to settle down in my pew and have a little snooze, waking up in 20 minutes, Louis, you'll be fine. You will be well fed and you will be satisfied now. But Jesus warns you, if you have no spiritual hunger now, the consequences then will be catastrophic. If that doesn't wake you up, friends, I don't know what will. Get life in perspective. Eternity is too long to get it wrong. Third and fourth contrasts, and again, I think they go together. Verse 21, look with me. Verse 21, blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh then. By contrast, 25, woe to you who laugh now, for then you will weep. And then verse 22, blessed are you when people hate you now. Blessed are you when people exclude you now. Blessed are you when people reject you now because of me, says Jesus. Do you know what? Jesus says that if you're having a hard time for being a Christian, you are blessed. You are blessed. Your children are blessed. But woe to you, verse 26, and woe to anybody, woe to you, if everyone speaks well of you now. In eternity, Jesus says, these positions will be reversed. These positions will be reversed. It's very interesting. If you are really going to follow Jesus in this world, please do not expect to be honoured. Please do not expect to be praised. Please do not expect a pat on the back. This sermon says that is not the norm for a true disciple. If all you know in this life is being rich, if all you know in this life is being well fed, if all you know in this life is being comfortable and well satisfied, if all you know in this life is laughter and being well regarded, if that's all you know, says Jesus, please understand, you are sleepwalking into eternity and it will be disastrous. Let me read you something I saw the other day. This person said, our age, you and me, our generations have done something that Christians in previous times would have found unimaginable. We have managed to make Christianity sound comfortable, safe, and middle class. So we think, do we not? To deny self means giving up sugar for Lent. No. We think to take up your cross means having a difficult relative to stay at Christmas. Or even before Christmas. But surely something much bigger is at stake. Following Jesus is about a life of radical discipleship for all of us. And the issue, surely, surely the issue is, we just don't think it's worth it. Because all that we really think matters is this little bit of miserable life now. But eternity is too long to get wrong. Do you know, this story I'm going to tell you
has been overshadowed by what happened on Friday night. You'll see why in a second, but it's still worth telling you this story. In December 2016, an ISIS suicide bomber walked into St. Mark's Cathedral in Cairo and he blew himself up. It got almost no coverage in this country, but 25 Coptic Christians were killed and 49 were very badly wounded. Last week on Radio 4, the reporter, Frank Gardner, went back to Cairo and he interviewed a man whose granddaughter was killed in that bomb and whose daughter has been left horribly disfigured for the rest of her life. The man said a couple of things that I thought were very unexpected. He said, "I used to go to church most weeks, but since the attack, I go several times a week." "Can you forgive the people who did this?" says Frank Gardner. "Can you forgive the people who persecute you?" "Yes," said the man. "I want them to know they are loved and they are forgiven." "We love and we forgive," he said, "because that is what it means to be a Christian." Now, here's the striking thing. You might have heard of Frank Gardner. He's the BBC security expert. He himself was very badly injured in a terrorist attack a few years ago. I think he's still in a wheelchair. And he turns to the radio crew and he says these words. He says, "I'm very struck." He says, "I'm very struck by these Coptic Christians. I do not forgive my attackers," he said. "No way. They have never said sorry. They have never asked to be forgiven. I do not forgive them. But these people do. These people actually say they love the people who've done this to them." And when I heard him say that, I just thought, what a very, very striking testimony to the cost of following Jesus, which is only willingly borne by those who have an eternal perspective. Blessed are you when people hate you. Blessed are you when they exclude you, insult you, and reject you. Do you know, friends, we hear that and we think it's a curse, don't we? We think it's a tragedy to be treated like that. We think God has let us down, don't we? And Jesus says, no, no, hear the call of the kingdom. There will come a day when the kingdom is here in all its fullness. And you who weep now, says Jesus, you who weep now, my friends, you Coptic Christians, you who weep now, you will rejoice then. You will rejoice then. So friends, let me ask you a couple of questions. Please wake up and listen to these questions. You who slumber, how tightly do you cling to what this world has to offer? Is your stomach so full that you just don't hunger for anything else? Is your reputation everything to you? I must be liked. I must be well thought of. Please don't ask me to be different to the world around me. Friends, Jesus says this morning, he says, make your choice. Make your choice. Make yourself entirely comfortable here, but one day it's all going to go. Or hear the call of the kingdom now. If you're in Christ, where he goes, you go. And sometimes, as Tim Chester would say, to be in Christ means that you go down, down, down. It means being a servant. It means being humble. It means dying to self. It means doing the washing up for the umpteenth time. But if you're in Christ, where is the ultimate destination? It is always up, up, up. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when you are rejected now because of the Son of Man, for you will be vindicated. You will share his glory. I'm going to finish with a story that I heard last Saturday. If you were there, you heard it. It's haunted me ever since. John Harper was a passenger on the Titanic. And when the ship sank, he found himself in the ocean clinging to a piece of wood. There's another man in the water also clinging to a piece of wood. He floats past. "There's no hope for the ship," calls out Harper. But there is for you. Are you saved? No, said the man. Then believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, said Harper. And he is close to death himself. And that man in the water, he did believe. And that night he was saved for eternity. And he was saved. He was one of the very few people saved from the Atlantic Ocean. And he survived. Harper died and his body was never recovered. But it really struck me. John Harper was a man who understood eternal realities, didn't he? There was a man who understood that whatever you've acquired in life, whatever you have achieved, however many friends you have, whatever you've got, the most important thing for any of us is to die in Christ. Because eternity is too long to get it wrong. So friends, count the cost. Jesus says, count the cost of it. Trust these promises. And keep going. Keep going. Amen.